Gracious and loving God, we come before you today as your children, and we ask that you will speak to us, that you will remind us of your love, and that you will help us to hear from you who we are and what your plans are. We love you, Jesus. This is your time. In Christ's name, amen. So the video I wanted to show today is a compilation video of babies taking their first steps. And it's pictures from around the world and a variety of settings. And they're standing there, and then they take this step, and then they start wobbling, and you see the confidence. And then all of a sudden, there's this excitement, and every single one starts, like, running. They go from, like, a one step to this, like, run to mama. But the best part of watching these videos is watching the parents' expressions. And you can definitely tell who are the brand new parents, like, this is their first child. There's a little extra excitement for them. Anyways, it's just a really fun video. So when you're at home, if you have internet or you're with someone who has internet, have them go on YouTube and look up baby's first steps. It's a great fun. I don't know. Do you remember your first steps? Okay, probably not. I'm sure, though, it was a special and memorable moment for whoever was there when you took them. Today I want you to reflect for a while on the fact that at some point in your early years or two of life, you took baby steps for the first time. You did, right? I mean, you're all walking. And look at how you've walked over the years. Your 2 feet have taken you a lot of places, haven't they? Reflect upon that, how those first initial baby steps have taken you so far. Once you were a walker, you were always a walker, right? You didn't go back. Well, before Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin took those first steps on the moon, they were ordinary people like you and I. They were earth walkers. And then through a series of steps of courage and faith taken by them and the people who supported them, Neil and Buzz became lunar walkers. And their lives and our lives were forever changed. And then there was this group of people in 2011 who followed Jesus' instruction to sell all that they had and to pick up a few things that remained, 3 wooden crosses, communion supplies, offering trays, and a few other items. On October 23rd, 2011, drove them in cars to a storefront on Wiley Boulevard, leaving behind church buildings that they had called home, in order to take a step of faith to outreach and create something new, which they would name New Disciples of Cedar Rapids. And you know, once they took those steps of faith, the rest is history, right? And as a result of their steps of faith, people were welcomed into this new church who hadn't had a church home before. These new additions, taking their own steps of faith, together these steps of faith have changed lives. So do you remember your first steps? The Bible is full of stories of people taking steps of faith. We heard Kevin share Noah building the ark. Everyone mocked him, and he did the step of faith. Abraham leaving his homeland and everything familiar to him to go on this great journey. Sarah giving birth in her old age. Joseph prophesying that the Israelites would someday have an exodus from Egypt. And Moses' parents hiding him as a baby. Then Moses instructing the people to place blood on their doorposts and that somehow that blood would protect them from death. The list of faithful people taking steps of faith goes on and on to the present day. In fact, the author of Hebrews points out in verse 15 of chapter 11 that at any point, those who have taken these steps of faith could have turned around and returned home. Any point, they could have been like, turning around, God. And we know people who have done that on our journey. And yet, they persevered in faith. The 11th chapter of Hebrews actually begins with this summary. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for.
I think that's actually written on your bulletins. You can take that verse home with you and hang it up. Now, Peter, the apostle, he demonstrated this type of confidence when he actually stepped outside of a boat. So we're going to read this story now. It's in Matthew 14. It will be on the screen. Immediately. Awesome. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." I'm going to read that again. "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have a little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The author of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 12 says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith." What Peter did in the story wasn't anything new. See, Moses and the Israelites, they were fleeing from Egypt in the great Exodus, and they found themselves trapped. They had a sea on one side, they had Pharaoh's army on the other, and they had nowhere to go. And then God instructed Moses to stand still so the Lord could fight the battle on their behalf. So Moses stood there and he waited, and the sea's here and the army's coming towards them. And God says, "Stretch your hand out over the sea." And a strong east wind arose and drove back those sea waters, creating a land bridge. And then the Israelites were able to cross safely. A generation later, a similar event occurred. But this time, those who were asked to take the step of faith had memories of their parents telling the story. Their parents told about that time. The Egyptian army was coming at them, and they had the sea in front of them, and the wind came and separated the waters, and they were able to walk across. And so for them, they would have to take a step of faith first before seeing the waters part. See, Joshua 3 and 4 records this story. So Israel is now being led by Moses' successor, Joshua, and they're about to enter the promised land that they've been waiting a very long time to enter. But first, they have to cross the Jordan River. And so God instructs them to choose 12 people, 12 priests, to carry the Ark of the Covenant, and that everyone is supposed to follow the Ark where the Ark goes. Now, this is the thing. It's harvest season, and the waters, it's a flood stage. We all know flood stage, right? We're very familiar with that as a church. So the Jordan is at flood stage, and they're supposed to go wherever the ark goes. And God says, God said that they had to step into the water first. "Go ahead, step into that water. I'm going to separate it for you." Now, the previous generation, they got to wait till the water separated. They're going across. This generation has to take the step first. They have to trust those stories that they have heard. And Joshua 3:15-16 says, "As soon as the priests who carry the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing." So I wonder what it must have been like for Yuri Gagarin. He's the first man who journeyed into outer space. He was a farm boy. He survived the Nazi occupation of his family's farm. He was chosen by the Russians to orbit the Earth because of his small stature. They need someone small. But also because of his life experiences, he had great endurance, psychological endurance and physical endurance, and he passed all these examinations. But I wonder, even though he was psychologically fit and he had endured a lot in his life, what went through his mind before they took off? What went through his mind? Because he was the first one that was going out into orbit. And I wonder what went through Peter's mind as he saw a figure walking towards him on the lake. Did he, like his comrades, respond with fear? Was he comforted when the figure spoke and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid"? Did he recognize Jesus' voice? And this is my big question. Why did Peter ask, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water"? Why did he ask that question? How did it even enter his brain to ask the question, "Invite me to join you"? Why did Peter open himself up to the invitation to take a step of faith? None of the other disciples did. And is it possible that God doesn't invite us to take a step of faith unless we're open to them? Peter was, according to the written record, Peter was the only one asked to take the step of faith. He was the only one invited to walk on the water, but he was also the only one who asked. Could this be why some people experience more of the mystical and miraculous of faith than others do? Is it because they're more open to the invitation? I wonder if Peter hadn't asked Jesus to invite him, would Jesus have invited him? Would he ever experience walking on the water? Instead, Jesus says, "Come." And Peter takes that first faith-filled step over the edge of the boat and onto the water. Now listen, he's still holding on to that boat. He has to be. You know, when you step out and, like, that first step, I don't think that was the full step of faith. I think it's when he took that second step and he, like, go to the boat. Kind of like when you watch a new baby take a step, the first step, I don't think they really realize they're doing it. It's that second step that they're like, "Oh, I'm walking. My mom's not holding my hand. My dad's not there to catch me." But when he first put that first step over, the cool of the water rushed around his foot. His body was still being supported. And he lifted that other foot over the edge, and he felt the release of that foot frame, the sense of security. But it didn't matter because his faith was focused on Jesus. His security transferred from the boat to Jesus. And so he stands there and he looks at Christ. And he walks towards Christ. Caution, then delight floods his face. Jesus smiles back at him like a parent watching her newborn take those first independent steps. And then out of the corner of Peter's eye, he sees the wind. He feels that burst of energy from his side, and he becomes afraid. And he loses sight of Jesus, and he becomes enveloped by the sights and the sounds around him, and he begins to sink. Have you ever had a time in your life that looked like that? A time where the storm clouds around you, they clouded your vision, and you could feel yourself sinking lower and lower into that pit. Can you imagine how Peter felt as he lost his footing of faith? He cries out like so many of us do, "Lord, save me." When I was in Bible college, we had an assignment to read through the New Testament quickly. Like we had like 8 weeks to read through the whole thing, maybe a little bit longer. So I was reading through quickly, and I had read through it before, got through Matthew, was reading through Mark, and somewhere in Mark, I had a crisis of faith. Here I was reading the Bible, and I had a moment where I was like, "I don't know if I can believe this." Now, my spiritual gift, people always complimented me on, was like, "Stacia, you have such great faith." And here's a moment where I am not having faith. It seemed to flee from me. And I started asking questions, how this book that supported my faith all of a sudden was now causing me to doubt. And how could I reject Jesus' words while Jesus' words was what I was reading? And I felt those storm clouds engulf me. And that question of what would it mean for me to set aside my faith? What would that mean to my identity? What would that mean to my future? And what did that mean? Was my faith real? And then came this moment in the midst of the storm where I cried out to God, God, if you're real, be real to me. And that exact same moment, my asking that question made me realize I had this much faith. And that little bit of faith, God used to get me through that. As Peter sunk, he cried out, Lord, save me. And what does the scripture say next? What's Jesus' response to his doubt and his sinking and his crying out? Jesus reaches out his hands and catches him. He says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He doesn't punish him, though. He's like, why did you doubt? I was right here. He reaches out and takes hold of him. And I love this part because Jesus doesn't deny Peter's denial or lack of faith. Instead, Jesus names it when he reaches out. And he doesn't punish Peter. He cares for Peter. Just as parents watch their babies take those first steps, the parent is waiting there to catch the child if the child falls. Or lets the child fall if they know they're going to be okay. Jesus is waiting there for each of you too. He doesn't expect our steps of faith to be perfect. He knows at times we doubt. But Jesus wants so much more than our doubts. He wants us to take those steps of faith, even when they're there. So my question for you this morning was, where is God calling you to take a step of faith? And are you willing and ready to do it? And can you take it knowing that God will be there to catch you if you fall? See, taking a step of faith is about our relying on God instead of ourselves. It is Peter knowing that he himself is not able to walk on that water, but if he asks the Lord Jesus to invite him to do so, he can. It is about trusting God with the things and the people who matter the most to us, including our own needs and each of our own lives. And I also want to ask, are you even open to God inviting you to take that step of faith? If God hasn't asked you to take a step of faith in quite a while, you may need to ask yourself that question. Am I even open to God inviting me to take a step of faith? And if God does invite me, will I take it? Amen.